Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Pastor Busa Ngabanye, how are you doing this afternoon?
Greetings and salutations to you, my brother. I'm mighty fine. How are you? And to all our listeners, greetings to you as well. I hope I find you well.
Fantastic. You find us well. I think this is the first time I'm speaking to you this year. And I hope you've started this year well and are settling well, eh?
Thank you very much. Yes, indeed. It is the first time, actually. Yeah, it's been a while, but we thank God he's taking care of us just as he did through 2023. We're already done with the first month. Can you believe it?
Imagine.
But we thank God that he's taking care of us.
Unbelievable. Well, Pastor, this next 3 days, we're going to be talking to you about the millennium and the end of sin. And of course, after the second coming of the Messiah, there is a period in which all the believers will reside in heaven until the enemy, the devil and his sin is forever destroyed and the earth is made new again. It's mentioned in somewhere in Revelation 20 explaining that these believers will go reign with Christ for that period of time. It sounds amazing, but what does it all mean? And so over the next couple of days, we will answer that question and more other questions that we are going to asking and learning from your pot this particular period. Now, Mfundisi, we want to understand, first of all, yini imillennium. You know, I remember in 1999, but we had been in the 90s. Before that, it was, the calculations were coming out nicely because it was 60, after 60, 69, 70, 79, 89, 90. 99, and then what are we going to do? If you remember well, it was a great panic and lots of predictions. You know, kusitua, kusitua, millennium, millennium. And, you know, it's a city tonight, millennium, millennium. But what is the millennium really?
let's just start with the word itself from a basic dictionary explanation of the word.
Right.
Millennium simply means a thousand. So when we're talking of a stay in heaven of a millennium, it is referring to a thousand years. This is actually a very important question. I remember when I was growing up, I just used to think, when I see millennium, I'm thinking million. So it's supposed to be a million years. But no. Let's get it right. Let's get it right. It's a thousand years. And it is important that we substantiate this from Scripture. And thank you for directing us to Revelation 20. Allow me to read in the hearing of our listeners, Revelation 20, verse 1 through 5 or 6. The Bible says, "And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, the old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years." We now see this 1,000 years coming through the text. "And cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more, till the 1,000 years again should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season." Verse 4. "I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years again. But the rest of the dead lived not until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection." And the Bible says, "Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. And such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years." So we see this 1,000 years, even through verse 7, and when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan will be loosed out of his prison. So clearly the Bible, the text is clear, the Bible is clear, there is this period known as 1,000 years, and this is the millennium. This is the millennium. This is the millennium. So it is, according to the scripture, it is the 1,000 years between the time Jesus comes and takes his children home and the time when Jesus will then judge this world, the executive judgment, when the wicked shall be resurrected and finally are destroyed. So in simple, there is the period between the first and the second resurrection, and it is a period of 1,000 years. That is basically the period known as the millennium.
Beautiful. Now, is there a particular reason we know of why it has to be a millennium? Why must it be 1,000 years? Why not 100 years? Why not 50 years? Why not 200 years? Why a millennium? Is there any particular reason?
Interesting question. We don't quite have a clear reason from the Word of God why God chose that it shall be for a period of 1,000 years. But yet there is something a bit interesting that I'm going to share with our listeners.
Right.
If we read from a book written by one of my favorite authors, Ellen G. White, called The Great Controversy. The Great Controversy. She speaks of the period that the earth has been in existence from creation to date, which is about 6,000 years. And for these 6,000 years, the earth has been, so to speak, under the control and rulership of the devil, the wicked reign of the devil. The earth has been suffering. Nature has suffered because of the devil, because of sin. So I want you to listen to this. This is 6,000 years.
All right.
And then we have a promise that then we are going to have a period of 1,000 years. Could it be coincidental that after 6,000 years, we should soon be expecting the earth to come to a rest for a period on holiday of about 1,000 years? To bring a cycle of 7,000 years. Could it be? It's a sabbatical that God has prepared for this earth, that after 6,000 years of suffering, we have 1,000 years of rest, a millennium of rest with Jesus, God in heaven. It's not clear, but it's an interesting thought to think about, that perhaps that's why it is 1,000 years, that after 6,000 years, we need a thousand of rest, just as after 6 days of labor, we need a day of rest. This is just my thinking from the reading of the book Great Controversy on this subject, on the millennium.
I see. Well, the righteous during this millennium, I think you read in some of the scriptures in passing, what are they going to be engaged with?
Interesting. The righteous, let's read verse 4. I think it's the one that talks about the righteous of Revelation 20.
Yeah.
The Bible says, "And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. So clearly, the righteous are going to be in heaven with Jesus, with God for the 1,000 years, for the millennium. So it's like they are on holiday with Jesus in heaven. It's in essence the reward of righteousness. Go back to John 14, verse 1 through 3. Let not your hearts be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. I skip verse 3. I go to prepare a place for you. and I will come again and take you to heaven, so that where I am, you will be there also. So God has promised us heaven as a reward for righteousness. So in essence, why are we in the millennium? It's a reward for righteousness. So one of the reasons, clearly, one of the reasons before we even delve into this text, one of the clear reasons is that we will be in heaven for holiday. It's a holiday with Jesus. I mean, we have had some glimpse and some bit of description of how heaven is going to be, the beautiful river, the beautiful tree of life, the golden streets, pearly gates. Imagine being in that place. Mm. It's indeed a holiday, a place where there is no suffering, no pain. God shall wipe away all tears. Mm. No death, no pain, no crying, no sorrow. No bad thing in heaven. So indeed, it's like being in heaven. So the righteous will be in heaven. But the text also tells us something that would need a bit of more time for us to expound. But I believe you're going to give us time through the next three days to expound on this thought. Mm-hmm. The righteous are also going to be engaged in the process of judgment. In the process of judgment, for the word judgment, we are seeing thrones in verse 4 there and judgment being set. But we'll need a bit of more time to unpack this one. But we need to remember this one. Let's remember this one. I'm sure you're going to allow us time to unpack this one. That one of the main things that the righteous are going to be doing in heaven for the 1,000 years is work of judgment. Judgment of the wicked.
Wow. Now, if they are going to be busy with the judgment of the wicked, what will then be happening to the wicked or the unrighteous during that period?
Beautiful question. Yes. We haven't touched on the unrighteous. So what happens? I already alluded to the second coming of Christ and the time when the saints shall be taken to heaven. With the second coming of Christ also is the death of the unrighteous. They will not be able to withstand the glory of Jesus as he comes the second time. So those ones will be obliterated simply by and with the glory of Jesus. That is the unrighteous living. What happens to the unrighteous dead? 1 Thessalonians 4 is clear that only the righteous dead will be resurrected when Jesus comes. So what happens at the second coming of Jesus? The righteous living, the righteous dead are resurrected. The two are caught up together to meet in the air, and they travel to heaven with Jesus. What happens to the unrighteous dead? They remain in their graves. What happens to the unrighteous living? They are consumed by the brightness of the coming of Jesus. So they are dead. The unrighteous are dead in their graves for that 1,000 years. They are not resurrected. That is why in our definition of the millennium, we mentioned that it is a period between the first and the second resurrection, for the unrighteous dead will only take part in the second resurrection. That's why verse 6 also of Revelation 20, it says, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. So clearly there is a first and a second resurrection. The second resurrection is the one for the unrighteous dead. So, but for the 1,000 years, for the millennium, they are dead. They are in their graves. They are not resurrected at the time of the second coming. But their resurrection is going to happen after the 1,000 years, when they shall then receive their rewards. Lying in their graves. To answer your question in the simplest way.
Yeah. Now, in the verse that you read, you said that, you know, the devil will be locked up. I'm trying to imagine how is it going to look like. Is it literal?
What's going? Interesting. What's going to happen to the devil? I hear your question. It's it's an interesting one. It's very intriguing. Yes, the text is clear that the devil is going to be locked up in the bottomless pit. The devil is going to be locked up in the bottomless pit. I read verse 3, maybe from verse 2. And he laid hold on the dragon, the old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years and cast him into the bottomless pit. What is this bottomless pit? We'll have to be Bible students here. We've already read the beginning of the 1,000 years. We are taken up into heaven. So I want you to picture this. We are in heaven, and the preposition that is given regarding heaven is up in heaven. So from a view from up in heaven, what could be down? It is the planet Earth. It can only be the planet Earth. So it makes sense for us to conclude that the bottomless pit is planet Earth. But my brother, allow me to go a little bit deeper and also try to bring out that the bottomless pit is referring to this planet Earth. Now, this phrase, the bottomless pit, when you dig down and unearth it, it takes us to Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, which is at the point of creation, which says, "And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep." This word deep in Hebrew is exactly the same word as bottomless pit. So we could still say in Genesis 1 verse 2, in verse 2, that the earth was void and darkness was upon the face of the bottomless pit. Yet Genesis 1 verse 2 is referring to the creation of the earth, the creation of the world. So because of this commonality in terminology, we can safely, without much assumption, but with some scriptural basis, conclude that the bottomless pit is referring to the planet Earth. So that is the bottomless pit. So, but then let's go to the second part of your question.
Okay.
He is locked up. What does it mean that he is locked up in this earth? Now we know the bottomless pit is the earth, is locked up. What has been the devil's business all these 6,000 years, as I alluded earlier on? He's been in the business of deceiving mankind. He's been in the business of deceiving human beings, deceiving humanity. So he is busy right now. The Bible tells us he is roaring like a lion. He knows that his time is short. So he's busy right now. He's a loose man.
He's a loose cannon.
Yes, who is all about looking for one to devour. He's looking for one to see. Now, over the 1,000 years, what happens? The righteous are in heaven. There's no one on planet Earth. The unrighteous are dead. So it is the devil and his angels alone on this ruined planet Earth. So it's only graves, possibly dead bones, because I wonder who's going to bury the unrighteous living. They will just die. No burial is going to take place. So they're just bones scattered all over the planet Earth. So the devil has nobody to deceive. So in his usual business, the devil is now bound. It's figurative. He is now bound. He has nobody to deceive. He has no one at all to try and deceive, because the righteous are in heaven. And on planet Earth, in the bottomless pit, it's just bones and graves and dead people. So nobody at all to deceive. So in this instance, the devil is locked. He has nobody to deceive. Wondering, so he has nothing, none of his business to do. So that's what the text means when it says the devil is locked up. He can't do his work of deception. So he's locked. He's bound. He can't do anything. a bottomless pit way here on earth. So that's what the text is referring to when it says the devil will be locked up in the bottomless pit.
Well, Pastor, let's wrap up, and we're wrapping up with a question that is coming on the line, the question from the listener, Brother Emmanuel. The question that he is, I'm going to read it to you, Pastor, and then you can attend to it. The question says, okay. The righteous will be there, yes. But how will the children be judged? Are they automatically righteous? Shall we have children who will be judged unrighteous on the account of the sins of their parents? That's the question.
Interesting question when it comes to children. One thing that we know about God's judgment is that it is righteous. God's judgment is righteous in that no one is going to be judged on account of any other person, man, be it parent, brother, or sister, sin. So I can almost tell the text that my brother is referring to in Exodus. Exodus, God speaks of judging the sins of others unto the children and unto the fourth generation. We need to be clear that the second, third, fourth generation, the Bible, God is not referring to judging them for something that they have not done, but God is saying, should children pick characteristics, traits, and habits from generation to generation, then God is also going to judge all of them. But if anyone repents and comes to Jesus, then they break that chain of judgment, for each person is going to be judged according to their own sin. But we also know from the Bible that Christ spoke highly of us having to learn a lot from children in how we live on planet Earth. At one point, he even says, let the children come to me, for such, for theirs is the kingdom of God. So indeed, I can understand this question. Children exhibit a lot of godly characteristics that God would want us to have. So whilst we cannot conclusively say, because we are not told clearly, that children are automatically going to go to heaven, but we know from the Bible that God desires that we exhibit a lot of the characteristics that children possess: forgiveness, they don't worry about many things. So perhaps we expect to see many of them in heaven, but some of these things are hidden from us. That is it, an automatic ticket for a child to be in heaven? The Bible has not told us clearly, but we surely should expect that many of them should be in heaven according to Scripture.
Beautiful. Well, Pastor, we're going to end it there. This was our introductory discussion. Very, very important discussion. I must say that you have made this very difficult discussion very, very seamlessly and quite understandable. And I do want to thank you so much for that. Blessings to you, Pastor.
Thank you very much. And to all our listeners, thank you very much. You said we're on tomorrow, my brother, right? Same time?
On tomorrow, same time and same place.
Thank you very much. God bless you. So let's meet tomorrow.
Blessings to you. Thanks.
Blessings to you.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.